Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the families of the victims of the Creeslaw explosion intend to appeal a decision to grant planning permission for the redevelopment of the site of the tragedy. Meanwhile, former Justice Minister Helen McEntee says the government has not ruled out a public inquiry into the tragedy, but has reiterated that she believes the Garda investigation should be completed first. It's emerged 880 planned procedures were cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital last month. A new look's Letterkenny store is set to close as the fashion retailer ceases its operations in Ireland. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news this evening, a decision to grant planning permission for the redevelopment of the site of the Creeslaw explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people in 2022, has been labelled insensitive and morally bankrupt. Donegal County Council has given the go-ahead to Vivo Shell Limited to demolish the existing building and erect a new shop and fuel forecourt. Phoenix Law, representing several families affected by the tragedy, says the decision will be challenged at every stage. Concerns have been raised over the lack of prior notification given to the families. Anne-Marie Boyle, who lost her sister and nephew, Catherine and James O'Donnell, told Today's 9 till Noon show that how the process has been handled has compounded the family's grief.
Where can we just ask one thing? We will be appealing the decision, and we would like to thank everybody who has shown their support to the families and the injured, and hope that we would be asking for their continued support as we go forward with this appeal. And there's a lot, there's quite a few elderly family members. We have buried our mum on Saturday. Never got over it. No answers. And as you say, it's the grief all over again, the trauma. We're just so angry at how this has been happening.
Well, former Justice Minister Helen McEntee says the government has not ruled out a public inquiry into the Creeslaw tragedy, but has reiterated that she believes the Garda investigation should be completed first. She was responding to Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty, who said even the Garda Commissioner has accepted that there is nothing to prevent an inquiry being initiated while the investigation is ongoing. He also hit out at the way the planning decision was communicated, saying families should not have learned of it from the media.
Now, it'll be 3 years in October since their lives were torn apart. The families, some of them met with you last year in October. They asked you for a public inquiry. They tell me they haven't heard from you since. The Garda Commissioner, following that meeting, has publicly stated that a public inquiry can run alongside a Garda investigation. And this morning I'm thinking of Margaret O'Donnell. She's the mother of Catherine. She's the grandmother of James. Both of them were victims in the Creeslaw tragedy. She went to her grave at the weekend without the answers that she and all of the other families deserve. So on the day that the families of the victims have been re-traumatised with this decision and how it was communicated, can you give them some comfort? Will you commit, as a former Minister for Justice who was to look into this issue, the need for a public inquiry?
I met with the families because I wanted to hear from them, because I wanted to meet them, because I wanted to make sure that they got the answers that they are entitled to and that they deserve. And that is the number one objective here, that families get answers to the questions that they have asked and that they are entitled to, but also that something like this doesn't happen again. I was very clear in my previous role, as was government, that an inquiry was never being ruled out. But the work of the Gardaí, it's really important that that continues. The Garda Commissioner, who I spoke to, and indeed the Gardaí in Donegal, who I spoke to, have done a huge amount of work to make sure that a file can be prepared and it will be sent to the DPP. But if at the end of that process, and the DPP is independent, there are still answers that need, or still questions that need to be answered, the government has never, nor should it ever, rule out a public inquiry.
Opposition parties have hit back at a government proposal to change Dáil speaking time. The row delayed the election of a Taoiseach last month. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The speaking time row has reared its head again. Essentially, the government has put a motion to the Dáil Reform Committee saying that they want to create a new status for certain TDs who are neither in opposition nor in government, so that they get to question the Taoiseach and get other speaking rights in the Dáil. The opposition absolutely apoplectic that Michael Lowry and the Regional Independents will get access to their speaking time as they see it. by this sort of backdoor way, if you like, by the changing of the Dáil rules, and Labour in particular looking to institute what they're calling the duck rule. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck and therefore shouldn't have speaking time.
It's emerged 880 planned procedures were cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital last month. In 2024, almost 2,000 procedures were cancelled at the hospital, down significantly compared to the previous year when there were 6,000 cancellations. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says it's clear that the government has repeatedly refused to intervene to address the ongoing crisis at the hospital in terms of capacity and staffing issues. He's calling on the new health minister to end what he termed the blatant discrimination against Letterkenny University Hospital.
There's just a denial in government that we have a crisis at the hospital that has real consequences for patients, for cancellations, for the emergency department. So many ways with this one. People have are waiting. Obviously, they would have got themselves prepared mentally, psychologically for what lies ahead, and it's cancelled again and again. And of course, this is because we have the capacity issues in terms of nurses, doctors and beds at the hospital. And still the government, they just repeatedly refuse to accept there needs to be an emergency intervention and approach to the funding and resourcing of the hospital.
And the stark reality is that people are suffering at the hands of this. And if the message did finally get through to government, what do you think needs to be the first initial step?
Well, there has to be an acceptance that there's a problem before you can solve the problem. I have been exasperated over the years when we've provided evidence that the hospital is systematically underfunded. You know, we have 23, 24,000 inpatients every year, and we have a budget the same size as Sligo Hospital, which is 15,000 inpatients per year. It's blatant discrimination that we're facing here, and that has real impacts, real consequences for the people of Donegal, for patients who are waiting on, you know, vital procedures and operations in many instances. And of course, that the pain and the agony continues for them. This is a real impact on people's lives, and it's willful, systematic failure. So we need to have an acceptance in government of what's staring them in the face. And there needs to be then, from this new Minister for Health now, finally, the proper resources given to our hospital.
A cyclist has died following a collision in Moycullen in Galway. Gardaí were called to the scene on the N59 shortly after midday, following reports of a collision between a truck and a cyclist. The man in his 90s was taken to University Hospital Galway, where he was pronounced dead a short time later. Trade Union Forces says more needs to be done to cope with the number of patients being admitted to hospital over the weekend. It comes as the HSE has issued an order for staff hired after 2008 to switch to extended daily and weekly rosters. The new working conditions include working days between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. and shifts for 5 days over seven. National Secretary of Force Linda Kelly says the surge of weekend presentations is due to a number of factors.
In a lot of instances, it's people who aren't able to access their health services in a timely fashion in either the community setting or they're on a waiting list for surgery. So this is part of the response to the weekend surges, but it's not the only response. There has to be an investment into integrated care in the community.
The Minister of State for Older People has committed to liaise with the HSE locally if there are shortfalls in the provision of home help services in the North West. South Donegal Deputy Frank Feehan raised the impact a lack of personnel is having on care homes and hospitals. In response, Minister Kieran O'Donnell says funding is available for supports.
Across the country, and in particular in the North West, we've huge challenges to provide adequate home care for some of our most elderly and infirm citizens. I, like most TDs, receive daily correspondence from families who are allocated home help or care hours, discovered there are no qualified personnel to fulfil these allocated hours. The issue is having an impact on care homes and mainstream hospitals, as doctors are reluctant to discharge patients home when the care hours are not available for the patients. Families are distressed and are asking why the HSE and government will not resource this vital service. I met a lady last weekend who completed her Level 5 qualifying course over two years ago. She was asked to send her CV to HSC, and to date she's received no correspondence or an interview since. It's very, very important because it's a very, very important issue. And we find ourselves that we're writing into the HSC and not one answer is coming back.
Thank you, Deputy.
This year, home support has increased by 122 million. That's the largest ever. It's 838 million. The funding is there. It's back to the individual regions themselves. So you might come back to us or our department can follow up with the HSE locally and to ensure the funding is there.
New Look's Letterkenny's store is set to close as the fashion retailer ceases its operations in Ireland. Locally, the shop provides 12 full-time roles and 2 part-time positions. Emily Keegan reports.
The High Court today approved the appointment of liquidators to oversee the winding down of the business and its assets. New Look says this decision was not taken lightly, but came after several years of sustained losses and challenging market conditions. It employs 347 staff across 26 stores in 16 counties. It's believed they'll be subject to a redundancy programme. The company says employees were notified immediately and more engagement will take place in the coming days. A clearance sale will take place at New Look shops around the country on Sunday. Irish customers will still be able to access New Look collections through retailers like ASOS and Very.
Derry is to benefit from a multi-million pound extension of the Urban Villages Capital Plan. The Realm project in Derry is one of 4 capital projects to share £9 million in funding, announced today by Northern Ireland's First Minister Michelle O'Neill during a visit to the North West. She says the chosen projects will help to meet the aim of creating safer communities and making a real and positive difference to people's lives. 2 medical evacuations have been carried out by Armagh RNLI over the past 4 days. The most recent was last night when the lifeboat crew were tasked by Malinhead Coast Guard at 10 p.m. The casualty was transported by lifeboat to a waiting ambulance at Burton Port before being transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Dynamo range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA's annual Congress is up and running at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town today. The event is being hosted by Donegal GAA for the first time in nearly 40 years. The official opening is on Friday evening, but today is based around World GAA Day, with officials from right across the globe discussing important matters in Gaelic Games. Sean Dunyan is the County Central Council Delegate and Chair of the Local Organising Committee.
That's all the units overseas from those different continents. So there's a whole series of events for them on the Thursday first. And that's about their Irishness, as you said, Brendan. And it's so important to all the diaspora across the world that, you know, that they can get connected with a GAA club, be it in Dubai or Chicago or wherever it is. And then they're still part of the organisation and come to the annual Congress then in February every year. So, yeah, a huge organisation across the globe now.
In soccer, Stephen Bradley wants to keep the European journey on track. The Shamrock Rovers head coach is down a few key players for the second leg of their Europa Conference League playoff tie. Danny Mandroyo and Adam Matthews are out, injured, while Dylan Watts and Dan Cleary are suspended. Rovers lead Mulday 1-0 in aggregate, and Bradley is intent on getting to the next round.
We want to keep this journey going. We want to last 16 and let's go again. And we have a difficult game tomorrow, we know that. But that's the aim. And like I said, I think it's a positive step for us as a club, but us as a league as a whole. I think you just see the knock-on effect it's had for the FAI Cup this year. So it's positive for the league as a whole, which is really important.
Robbie Keane's Ferencváros have a 1-0 lead going into the away leg of their Europa League playoff tie with Victoria Pilsen tonight, and Troy Parrott is expected to start for AZ Alkmaar, who are 4-1 up ahead of facing Galatasaray in Turkey. Luis Rubiales has been found guilty of sexually assaulting Spain international Jenny Hermoso. The former president of the Spanish Football Federation kissed Hermoso on the lips after Spain won the Women's World Cup. Rubiales has been ordered to pay a fine of more than €10,000 and must not go within 200 metres of Hermoso or contact her for 12 months. Moving on to rugby, Ireland interim head coach Simon Easterby says the time feels right for Dan Sheehan to captain the team for the first time. Sheehan will skipper his country against Wales in the Six Nations on Saturday after being named to start in Cardiff. Easterby says the Leinster hooker has earned the chance to lead the team as captain this weekend.
Obviously with Caelan not available this weekend, we just felt it was a good time for Dan to grow that leadership within the group, to grow another player, to experience something a little bit different around the week and how he handles that. And he's captained Leinster at various times as well, so it's not something he hasn't done before.
There are seven changes in all from the win against Scotland last time out, with Sheehan in for Ronan Kelleher in the number two shirt. Thomas Clarkson gets his first start for Ireland at tight head prop, while Joe McCarthy replacing James Ryan in the second row. With regular skipper Caelan Doris ruled out with a knee injury, there's a start in the back row for Jack Conan. Gary Ringrose's inclusion at outside centre sees Robbie Henshaw switch to 12. The fit again, Mac Hansen comes in on the right wing, while Jamie Osborne starts at full back. Scarlets winger Ellis Mee will make his Wales debut in Saturday's game in Cardiff. Interim head coach Matt Sherratt has made 8 changes to the Welsh team for his first game in charge. Gareth Anscombe returns at fly half, with Max Llewellyn, Will Griff-John and Nicky Smith among the other changes. Warren Gatland left his role as head coach following the defeat to Italy last time out, with Wales on a losing streak of 14 games. In darts, Luke Littler continues the defence of his PDC Premier League title in Dublin tonight. The reigning world champion will face Gerwyn Price in the quarterfinals at the Three Arena in Dublin. Michael van Gerwen goes up against Chris Dobie. Rob Cross faces Nathan Aspinall, and Luke Humphreys will take on Stephen Bunting. In tennis, a man who caused Emma Raducanu to break down in tears during a match at the Dubai Tennis Championships has been given a restraining order. Dubai police say they detained a tourist who approached the former British number one, but Raducanu has since dropped the charges. The man, who was described as displaying fixated behaviour, has been banned from future tournaments. In basketball, the Ireland men's team continue their bid to qualify for the 2027 FIBA World Cup this evening. Mark Keenan's side are in Freiburg to take on Group A leaders in Switzerland, that with a tip-off at 6:30 Irish time. And finally, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman joins us to look ahead to tomorrow's action for Finn Harps in Derry City. The Donegal League are facing into an Oscar Traynor Cup quarter-final against Mayo this Sunday. We'll speak to manager Eamon Sheridan, and Jim McGuinness's Donegal head to Galway this weekend as the only side with a 100% record in Division 1. We'll preview the game with 2012 All-Ireland winner Ryan Bradley. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, sunny spells and scattered showers this evening. A few prolonged and heavy. The showers will become less frequent later this evening. Highest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines: a decision to grant planning permission for the redevelopment of the site of the Creeslaw explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people in 2022, has been labelled insensitive and morally bankrupt. Donegal County Council has given the go-ahead to VivoShell Limited to demolish the existing building and erect a new shop and fuel forecourt. Well, former Justice Minister Helen McEntee says the government has not ruled out a public inquiry into the explosion, but has reiterated that she believes the Garda investigation should be completed first. She was responding to Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, who said even the Garda Commissioner has accepted there is nothing to prevent an inquiry being initiated while the investigation is ongoing. It's emerged 880 planned procedures were cancelled at Letterkenny University Hospital last month. In 2024, almost 2,000 procedures were cancelled at the hospital, down significantly compared to the previous year when there were 6,000 cancellations. A new looks Letterkenny store is set to close as a fashion retailer ceases its operations in Ireland. Locally, the shop provides 12 full-time roles and 2 part-time positions. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about why fertiliser prices are set to continue rising. But first, the annual general meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA takes place next Wednesday, February the 26th, in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny. Joe Sweeney is the IFA County Chairman, and he's encouraging as many IFA members as possible to attend.
It is well worth attending, and it's like every meeting, it doesn't matter if there's information to be got, it's well worth coming, listening, and it's a bad night you wouldn't pick up something, because what you'll hear something, or if you're back at home, you hear nothing. So
there are a number of guest speakers coming along.
Yeah, this year we have our own Deputy President, Alice Doyle. She's from Wexford. She was the first female to be a deputy president in IFA, so it's probably a big night for her. But she's coming. She's doing a talk on what's happening in the IFA at the minute, and that's followed then by Kieran Mullooly, the independent MEP for our area here in the Northwest Midlands. And Kieran is just giving us, filling us in on what's happening in Europe at the minute, and there'll be a lot of good knowledge there of what's happening with the derogation and more so Mercosur and the beef and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be well worth listening to what Kieran has to say and what his take on the future of looking into the crystal ball, what'll happen.
Yeah, and no doubt there'll be a few people there who might vent their feelings about everything from acres to cap, and always issues to be discussed.
There's always issues to be discussed, you're right, and for us here in this part, acres is a big one because it's a very slow moving train. It's actually stopped at the minute. They are paying out bit by bit on individual cases every month, but it's very, very slow, and I don't know what the big hold up is, but there's still monies owed from 2023, 2024, and now we're heading into the first quarter, finishing the first quarter 2025, and still nothing. So it's, other than that interim payment, there's nothing. So there's a lot of answers needed, and there'll be a lot of questions, and there'll be a lot of frustration and whatever, but just we have to go with it and try and address as much as we can what we can.
Will there be any officer board posts up for election or re-election? What's happening there?
Yeah, there was a few movements, all right. There's actually one position is for election. It's the farm business. Andrew McShay and Shannon Porter, they're up for election for the farm business. And then there was a few more that went uncontested. Andrew McMenamin has moved PRO, and Tina Lynch has taken over secretary. Marion Boyce is treasurer, so they were all filled. Stella McGlinchey is actually the assistant secretary. That's what's happening on the night. So it'll be reasonably simple. But I'm just asking every branch to come out and cast their vote.
And finally, Joe, just speaking of branches, worth pointing out, Donegal, I think we've got in the region of 30 branches. It's a county that has always had very strong representation, and from grassroots up, I mean, this is what the association's all about.
This is what the association's all about. They have 30 branches, and there is a good community in every branch at the minute. They're going well. But just to come out and listen to the information and meet up with what other branches are doing and find out what's going on.
And that was Joe Sweeney, the IFA County Chairman. That meeting is on next Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. Donegal farmers have suffered significantly from highly volatile fertiliser prices over recent years, which has massively increased the uncertainty over when they should purchase their annual soil nutrient supplies. The outlook is for even higher fertiliser prices in the years ahead. Lorcan Roach Kelly, agribusiness editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been telling me more.
Yes, Chris, thanks for having me on. I think that, fertiliser prices, I suppose, have been a big topic of conversation ever since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and we saw that massive spike in nitrogen prices over €1,000 a tonne. And, OK, it came down fairly quickly in 2023, 2024, but we kind of hit a bottom that was around €350 a tonne for nitrogen in the international markets. And that was way above even the 2021 level. So we kind of sat down over the last week and did a bit of kind of research into what's driving this and what's likely coming next. And we didn't find a huge amount of good news, as you said.
What about when it comes to shopping around? You know, can deals be got, or is it all gone in that one direction upwards?
I think it was all gone in that one direction. I think it's important to point out that Ireland has no domestic fertiliser production. So if you're shopping around, you're dealing with a merchant, but they're buying on international markets wherever they can. And there is an international price there that I suppose they have to kind of have cognizance of. But also, I think it's important when you're shopping around as well. Like, there's a lot of new legislation coming through, particularly starting January 1st next year, that it's going to add further problems onto fertiliser prices. And I suppose we could quickly look at that. It's a thing called CBAM, which is the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism. And basically what that means is that from the 1st of January 2026, anyone importing a carbon-intensive NM product, fertilizer is a particularly carbon-intensive product, that they will have to pay what's called a carbon adjustment mechanism on that import, which basically means that if that product was produced in the EU, the producer would have to buy carbon credits to offset the carbon consumed, the carbon cost of producing it in Europe. Because it's produced outside Europe, the importer then has to pay the same equivalent carbon offsets, carbon credits, on top of the price of their product they're importing. So it adds to the price to come into country from the 1st of January next year. There's a similar CBAM coming in for the UK, but that's from 1st of January 2027. So I suppose there might be worthwhile shopping across the border next year. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, energy, the spike there has also impacted on things. And then I see you've been writing about the fact several fertiliser plants have closed in Europe, and we still have a big dependency on Russia for EU fertiliser imports, so we'll be keeping a very close eye on matters Russia and Ukraine. You know, the short-term outlook's not positive.
The short-term outlook, and even on the Russia supply thing, Russia still supplies 25% of the fertiliser into Europe, even despite all the things that happened since the invasion of Ukraine. But the EU Commission has put a proposal forward to increase tariffs on Russian supplies from July of this year. And currently, the tariffs are at quite a low level, at 6.5%. They're looking at rising them up to 13% from the 1st of July and then hitting 100% by July 2028, which means from the middle of this year, the price of fertiliser imports from Russia will go up by about €40 a tonne. But we're looking by the end of 2028, fertiliser from Russia will have an extra €350 a tonne of tariffs on top of it, basically doubling the price and making it completely uneconomic. And the reason European production is closing down is twofold. First of all, the price of gas has gone up again, but also, as I said earlier, because of the environmental legislation, producers in Europe have to buy carbon offsets that the Russians don't have to do. So the cost of producing fertilizer in Europe is high because of gas, but also because of the environmental legislation and regulations that fertilizer production in Europe operates under. So I think whatever happens in the next 3 to 6 months or 3 to 6 years, whichever timeline you look at, there's very, very little there that's pointing at lower fertilizer prices in the future. The only thing we can really hope for is that if there is a peace deal reached between Russia and Ukraine, and in the wake of that peace deal, a lot of the, I suppose, impediments and tariffs that are there on trade with Russia and Belarus are removed, and that will at least lead to a fresh supply of fertilizer coming into Europe. But because the legislation is there, and the CBAM I mentioned earlier, even in that situation, we're still going to have higher import taxes on fertilizer coming in. So overall, it looks like there is environmental legislation driving this, there's geopolitics driving this, there is energy prices driving this, and they're all driving it one direction.
And finally, Lorcan, do you think many farmers will be buying in advance and maybe stockpiling a little bit?
Again, the outlook says prices are going up, so if you can get it at a price now, you're almost better off buying it, buying as much as you can when you can. But again, there's rules about how much fertilizer you have sitting in the yard as well. Like we have this new fertilizer database as well, so farmers will be kind of slightly wary of that. And if you look at this week's Farmers Journal, there is 5 or 6 pages there of fertilizer focus that gives a kind of a guide over how much you can have, how much you can spread, and all that kind of stuff.
And that was Lorcan Roach-Kelly, agribusiness editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, February 20th. The death has taken place of John Gallagher, Dundoan Downings. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from his late residence on Saturday morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of George Gallagher, Fanahan Inver. Remains reposing at Gallagher's funeral home, Station Road, Mount Charles, today until 8 o'clock. Wake at the family home tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St. Noel's Church, Ardahi, for 11 a.m. funeral mass, followed by burial in St. Noel's Cemetery, Ardahi. Family home private pleas on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass will be live-streamed on the St. Noel's Parish Inver Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Hospice. The death has occurred of Cathal Molloy, Drimna Crosh, Glenties and Dublin. Removal en route from Shovlin's funeral home, Sandfield, Ardra to Drimna Crosh. Funeral from there on Saturday morning, going to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James McGuinness and Sons, funeral director or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.